looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
Well, have fun today on Finishing Well with certified financial planner Hans Scheil. Today's show, really, Hans has been a disciple of many things. First of all, the task force on long-term care insurance. He's been studying that. But what was really beautiful to me is he sent me this Bible passage he's been thinking about actually for months, I guess. In Romans chapter 3, verse 2, in the ESV, it says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." Well, that'll get you. So, Hans, you were explaining it to me. It's beautiful.
When I'm looking through another translation, it just opens Romans 13, the chapter. It just says, submit to the government. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, and so I read the passage first. I mean, I probably didn't particularly like that, but knowing I'm reading the Bible in my daily reading, I think I better check this out. And if it calls for submitting, I need to start doing some submitting. As I read through there, it's really teaching us that it's not about that the government is perfect or the leaders in the government make perfect decisions at all. In fact, they're the same flawed people that we are. It's really a test from God in what Paul's saying here is to our ability to learn to be a disciple. And it's a leadership test where we're in turn. So I don't want to get along with telling everybody what to do. I mean, I read the Bible for myself, and I'm going to leave the preaching to other people, but I'm just reading this. I think you ought to check this out. And I think the application is, in my work, is the government and a government program and what the authorities have to say affects all seven sections of my book and what all the seven sequences of radio shows that we do. And the one we're talking about today is long-term care. We're talking about a government task force that's calling, really just getting together, looking at the problem within long-term care. And I'm reading this and I'm thinking, like, what am I getting out of this? And what I'm getting out of this is the biggest thing that I fight in doing my work is people who can't get out of their own way, okay? Or there are even people who do business with me and they buy certain things from me, they take certain advice from me, but then they carve out areas that are like no-touch areas. And long-term care seems to be one of those in a lot of areas is people just don't want to deal with it. Or you could just take it down to its basics. People are not willing to submit to the authorities.
Yeah, including me. I resemble that remark. And clearly, when you think about it, when Paul was talking about this, I mean, at the time he wrote this, I mean, let's talk about those government authorities. Like, can you say Nero and the guy that was putting Christians in the, I'm supposed to submit to this guy?
Roman prison.
Right. Or if you look at the pilgrims, I've been studying that because of Thanksgiving coming up, and all that stuff. Well, I guess it would just happened on this Saturday. But, the government was sending these people over in the boat that were taking up their food. In other words, they kept, in the early days of Plymouth Colony, you know, they didn't have enough food for 50. So send me 34 more guys or 35 more, and yet leave the ship so that they actually had to supply food for the ship. And as I thought about it, these guys not only submitted to the authority, but then they almost went the extra mile by giving some of their food to the ship that had to get back to England. It's just beautiful illustration of, okay, God, you're trying to teach me how to be a son by putting people in authority in my life. And in what ways can I do this, you know, and totally honor you?
Yeah. So as this relates to long-term care, so what's this task force all about? You know, as I'm reading a lot of things, I spend a lot of my time reading about my business and really reading about my ministry and what effect do I want to have on people? What effect does God want me to have upon people? And, you know, I think in terms of the seven subjects, you know,
right,
and
sure.
Today, you know, today's subject is long-term care and the federal agencies. So Treasury under Mnuchin and Health and Human Services, and then the National Association of Insurance Commissioners have this federal interagency task force. And, you know, the reality is probably not a lot's going to come out of this. So you think, well, why are you talking it out? Why are you bringing it up? Because I want to read what these people are talking about, what they see as problems, what they see as solutions to the problems. And they're the regulators. And the NAIC, or the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, they're the ones that regulate insurance. And they regulate insurance in every state. So, and it's different. So consequently, I have to have 50 different state insurance licenses, and my company does, to operate in all 50 states. And the laws are a little bit different. And what the NAIC is doing is trying to promote uniformity. And they're really trying to do that to keep the federal government's nose out of insurance. But back to the topic at hand, these people still came up with some real good takeaways and some of the identification of the problem. And the core problem, as I see it in reading this study and as they see it, is only 10% of the people who should have, could have, ought to have long-term care insurance, only 10% of them do. 90% of the people, which I'm talking about you all, don't have a solution, a financial solution to the problem of long-term care. So if you are unable to take care of yourself and you're unable to take care of yourself for a reasonably long period of time, you're going to face some financial hardship.
Yeah, which is an interesting thing is that I happen to know is that in your own life, right, your mother needed it and you knew she needed it. And so you even helped pay the premiums to make sure that she didn't end up in that 10%. And oh my goodness, did that work out in her life, you know?
Well, it did huge. And she, I mean, the rest of the story's in my book. So anybody that, you know, wants to read the whole story can get it out of my book. I tried to sell my father long-term care insurance while he was alive. And he was a 30-some year insurance man. And he wasn't going for it. So if anybody needed this goad, it was my dad. And the worst person to goad my dad was his oldest son. Okay.
I get that completely. I resemble that remark.
Literally, after my father passed away, I'm down there helping my mother with a number of things. And I was the chosen one in the family to handle my mom's finances for the rest of her life after my father died. And the very first thing I did is I wrote her long-term care insurance. And I said, and my sister was dead set against it. I mean, she was not just against it. She was really against it. And so I went ahead and did it anyhow, and I paid the premium for my mom. And I told her, that's what I'm doing. I'll pay the premium for this. And so I did. And about a year later, my mom just said, I need to put that premium out of my money. So I moved it over there. But this was many years before she needed it. This was back when, right after my father passed away. And we didn't buy her a huge policy because she really couldn't afford that. We bought about a year and a half's worth of coverage. but we bought so much daily benefit and then that inflated over the years that it ended up covering her really for about 2.5 years, which was, it was a blessing to have that amount of money per month coming in for either home health care, which we used for a while, or nursing home or assisted living. You know, we collected over $200,000 out of the policy. And, you know, like I said, it was a blessing. And
well, the thing that occurs to me is, as he tells his story is, you know, if you're a car salesman, like I have been all my life, you know, what car do you sell your mom? And at what price, you know, or, you know, whatever, if you happen to be a real estate agent, what kind of house do you sell your mom? And are you willing to, you know, actually invest in that yourself? And so when you hear Hans's heart, you might think, well, yeah, you know, this is all about, you know, selling insurance. No, it's not. It has to do with what the federal people came up with is protecting people's assets because of the total lack of information that people have about what happens. So many people like myself just guess that Medicare is going to pay for it or, you know, something, the government's going to handle it.
So when you read through this study, which I'm not asking you to do, by the way, and I read through there, when I read it, I'm saying, so what are these people admitting to? Okay. I mean, because it was really clear in there that they're like, we own this thing. I mean, we're, you know, here we are. We're the state regulators of insurance. We're the federal government with the Treasury and the Health and Human Services Administrators, Medicare, and a few other agencies that were thrown in there. And it's just, they collectively are saying this is a problem because we really have no federal, national solution for long-term care in place. We don't foresee having one. Now, there is a federal solution for long-term care for people that have no assets left after they've spent theirs down. It's called Medicaid, and that's in place. But that also, as that's used more and more, it's breaking the federal government. So these people are really talking about a real problem.
Yeah, and not to mention, if you went and visited anybody in one of those Medicaid, and I certainly had a dear friend that passed away in the spring, and oh my goodness. I mean, like, you know, way understaffed, you know, just unbelievable the stuff that I witnessed. I won't go into details, but let me just say, before you decide to give away all your assets so you can get a Medicare nursing home, go visit one.
Well, and that's a problem for the federal government too, because they're picking up the tab, them and the states shared together. So these folks have gotten together and it's a very extensive study, and they're saying that we haven't been very effective in influencing the general population who should be buying this private solution if we've only got 10% of the people that could buy it have it. So as far as me in the business, I just want to affect my little piece of the world. I mean, I'm going to be at peace if I can affect a number of people, and specifically the listeners, the clients, people that have Medicare supplement insurance with us. We suffer these same problems where they buy Medicare supplement from us, they read my books, they do all this stuff, and then it's just something, because I don't think we have more than 10% of our Medicare supplement clients covered under some form of long-term care insurance. So we're part of the problem in that aspect. And so that what they came up with are some solutions to this, some proposed solutions. And that's what we're really going to talk about in the second part of the show.
We are. So we need to let you know that this show is Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com is where you can go to find Hans's book, which has all this stuff on this, you know, seven worries. The specific one that we're talking about today is long-term care, which is something, one of the really things that opened my eyes to so many different things that was in this part that I had no understanding of what was going on. So, we got a lot to share with you coming up in the second part of the show. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans' aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner Han Scheil. Today's show, right? The Federal Task Force on Long-Term Care Insurance. And so we got some cool takeaways for you in this segment on, you know, some things that Han's discerned from the study that would be really helpful, I think, to everybody.
Well, and, you know, the 10% number hasn't moved for 25 years. And I'm sure there's some people that had it 25 years ago, had a policy, and then they lived on, they used it, and they've passed on, and some new people have bought it. But as you refigure, the number of 10% is just consistent. And I always say this when I get done reading this, whether it comes from the federal government or whoever, is it's just, it's tragic that that number should be more like 30 or 40% instead of 10%. Now, what they came up with as some key takeaways or some solutions, number one is they just said that the current products are too expensive. And I would agree with that. Now, as soon as you start lowering the price, you take away benefits. And as soon as you start taking away benefits, the insurance commissioners are going to come back and say, no, you got to pay for that. You got to pay for this. You got to have this. So they've kind of gotten in their own little circle. But it's just the consumer looks at the solution, and sometimes the solution looks worse than the problem, which is paying the premium for this stuff. And one suggestion that they did bring up was to encourage more insurance to be bought, what's called short-term care insurance or recovery care, which is exactly the policy that you purchased from me.
Exactly. It was much less expensive. But, you know, both Tammy and I have it. And to say we're excited that we have it and feel like we're not going to end up in that situation that our friend went, you know, you don't have to go to many trips to one of those to say, you know, I don't know what happens. I never want my wife in that place. Can you imagine? And you know, I'm understanding that Medicare wasn't going to pay for that situation. We got to have something, and we could afford that.
So they're suggesting we come out with something, and I'm reading this. I say, we already got it. We got it in 37 states. So that is a bit of a problem that I hope that this will legitimize it for those other, 13 states in the District of Columbia, which is 14 jurisdictions, where they will perhaps allow and approve these short-term care policies because they're a blessing. Yours is called recovery care. Then they also talked about putting benefits on the policy for people before they get on a claim so that they could be better prepared for like needing care, such as maybe education programs for families of somebody, like if you have a stroke and you're going to need care, but your family's taking care of you now, that the insurance company's going to pay for your family to go to learn how to care for you properly, or perhaps they'll pay for modifications to your home, that type of thing. That's probably the suggestion that I'm least excited about, not because it's not worthwhile. It just, I don't think it's going to move people to do anything if you add those benefits, and it's just going to add more costs.
And depending on their education, again, getting back to that, knowing what I know about that subject, if they'd had a class I could go to learn how to take care of my dad under the circumstances and what assets to be able to leverage and those kind of things, how awesome would that class be? I mean,
but the thing is, those classes are available now. And there are programs out there in the community. There have to be. And, you know, we'll talk about them on another show. So Okay. Those classes, and most of them are very inexpensive. I mean, you just got to pay some money for the meeting room or something. Okay. Then the next suggestion was to have more and better inflation options, which I think that inflation is a big concern. Somebody your age, is if you don't use this till you're 90, you're 65 now, 25 years from now, it's pretty reasonable to assume it's going to cost more to get this kind of care than it does now. Yet many times the inflation component is more expensive than the base policy itself. So then the price gets blown up out of proportion, and then the people buy nothing. You know, what I'm going to tell folks is when we get together and we talk about this problem, let's agree that we're going to come up with a solution that's affordable for you and reasonable and practical. And that may include limited inflation or no inflation. We may just buy more benefits to begin with, right from the start. We may buy a larger benefit and get that at something that's affordable for you. And then the last one that they said is we need to have more public awareness, more education. I agree with that. And what they're talking about is just making the average consumer aware of long-term care. The average person turning 65 and going on Medicare, and I would guess that many of you who are listening, who are part of this 90% that you don't have long-term care, really haven't had it offered to you much, or certainly not any education about it. So I commend you for listening to the show, and that's what we do. That's what I do. This is one of the seven worries, and this is probably the one that is the most near and dear to me, simply because I think this is where I can have the biggest impact. If I'm helping you with your money and helping you make good choices with that, there's a whole lot of other people out there that can do just as good of a job as me. I mean, I'd like to think that I do a superior job at that, but I'm not the lone wolf in that. I think in this, you just don't hear too many people ringing the horn. And the effect that I can have upon you and your family by sounding the horn about long-term care and perhaps influencing you to buy a policy is really a unique effect. I mean, you didn't have anybody else hawking this to you, bringing up the importance.
No, not even close. No, I had no concept of any of this. Of course, you know, very quick education about some things, but I honestly wouldn't even known there was a solution to all the problems I was experiencing.
Well, and so, you know, this is near and dear to me. And if I sound like a salesman here, I guess I am, as I'd like you to really investigate this and investigate it where you are thinking about, you know, Paul, what he wrote in Romans about, you know, about getting out of your own way a bit. When this subject is brought up, my experience of most people is outcome the objections, outcome the excuses, outcome the defenses, you know, well, I'll just pay for it myself. My kids will take care of me. You know, I don't want to talk about that now. I want to talk about enjoying my retirement. You know, I don't ever want to go to a nursing home. I mean, I just on and on and on and on. And a lot of these things people bring up and they don't serve them well, typically. I'd suggest that perhaps you would just investigate. Nobody says you got to sign up for one of these things at the end of the thing. You can just tell me to go away. I mean, and I'll do so gracefully.
You know, again, getting back to it's a car salesman's perspective, which I guess I can never get rid of, is that I'd been in the car business for 40 years. I kind of know something about it, okay? Kind of know a little bit about used cars, kind of know a little bit about a lot of things. And all these people would come in, and you can immediately spot it that they know way more about this subject than you do, right? You know, they know why they need that model, and they need to know why they need all those options or whatever. And here I was sitting there with all this ability to help them. Right. But their glass was completely full but I could sense it as a good car salesman. You know what I'm talking about. You don't dive in because, you know, you've been dismissed already. Is it you're not an authority.
Well,
expert.
Well, sure. You're just most folks. I mean, this is the hardest thing to submit to. OK, I mean, I've sold life insurance for 44 years and I still write a lot of life insurance on people. And it's easier to talk to people about dying. And the fact, because people know they're going to die. And they're just, especially when they get to be 60, 65, 70, 75, people know they're going to die. And us as Christians, we look forward to that and look forward to eternity. And that's just a reasonable subject. And don't have a lot of problem with it. Okay. People know that they're going to go in the hospital, that they're going to have surgery, that they're going to be taking medicines. They're going to go to doctors. They're going to, so a lot of these places that you need to get to see the value in having insurance to protect you. And when we get down to long-term care, people just like now we're dealing with the fact that you might have a period of time during your life where you can't care for yourself. It's almost like people can deal with the fact, you know, I'd rather die than have my family taking care of me or some paid come in and work person help me with bathing and dressing and just the activities of daily living. This is just, and then people have so many negative connotations with nursing homes, which I do as well. I would do anything to not put my mother in one of those places.
Especially not now.
Yeah, with COVID. So we're talking about really not talking about long-term care. We're talking about the interference that gets into us really solving this problem. Okay. And what I'm going to tell you is we're getting toward the end of the show is you're not going to be inclined to purchase long-term care insurance just because I give you a logical argument that it makes sense to do this. Okay. I can give you that, but the end of the logical argument is you're probably going to say, I want to think about it. Okay. And I want to analyze it. You buy long-term care insurance because you don't want to put your family through what you're going to put your family through if you don't have it. and you don't have a plan of action. If you could just sit with some of these families, as I do all the time, of people that are up there and then they finally, you know, mom's needs care. What are we going to do about it? And the families don't really know what they need to know about mom or dad's financial situation, what their income is, what their assets are, what kind of preparations they've made for this. And the family is in a crisis, and then they're making decisions about this stuff. So I would just encourage you to learn about it, investigate it. You know, if you want to call me up, if we want to just go over some stuff on the phone, talk about it. If you want to get my books, if you read through my books, I'll be glad to mail them to you for free. I'll also, you go to my website, you can get the long-term care chapters of both books, the book and the workbook, for free. You can just download them as a PDF. So I would just ask everyone to investigate this.
Yeah, believe me, it is part of finishing well, right? As we have, the choices that we make vastly affect our families. And, you know, if your parents are getting up there, you know how much the choices they made affected your life. And you know, dearly, you know, my parents affected my life in so many absolutely wonderful ways. But I really do wish they'd done more research on these areas. Because honestly, you know, some of my siblings really suffered through, you know, some of the decisions. And they still are suffering to this day. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And so it's worth the time. And the sooner you get these, right, like all insurance, you know, if you make these decisions when you're in your 50s or your 40s, it works out a lot better, doesn't it?
Look, you can get a small policy or a large policy with just a single deposit to the insurance company through either an annuity or a life insurance policy. It's called hybrid long-term care. So some folks think, I can't afford a monthly payment. I don't want a monthly payment. There's a way we can take your IRA or part of your IRA or some other savings or something else that you have in a CD, and we can use it to make a lump sum purchase of long-term care. There's tons of solutions for this.
Yeah, once you enter in, you know, God will make a way.
Yeah.
He just will. But it helps to have people know what they're doing and been around. So along those lines, Cardinal Guide, don't forget the guide after Cardinal, like the bird, cardinalguide.com, Hans's books, all these information, contact him. You know, he would love to, I mean, literally love to help you because this is his calling. So thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com. Visit CardinalGuide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and the workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to CardinalGuide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's CardinalGuide.com. CardinalGuide.com.
This is the Truth Network.